Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
And welcome to our guests and our visitors who are with us, praying with us this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying with us. I'm going to begin my sermon today by taking a page out of Father Stephen's book and reference an article from the New York Times. I read an amazing article, amazing article that absolutely floored me in the New York Times last week. It was about a Jordanian man who happens to be an artist. And rewind the clock about almost 14 years now, it was right after 9/11. He was living in this country and he was going to the University of Minnesota. And one night he was assaulted because he was an Arab. Again, this is immediately post 9/11. And because he was in the university, he said, I'm going to go around and I'm going to start giving talks about Arab culture that is separate from Islamic extremism. And so he began talking about art and stories and fiction and all kinds of literary works that have taken place in the Middle East, and specifically in his country, over the course of its history. At one of these talks, he was asked by a child, because there were families coming to these, he was asked by a child, is there a Jordanian version, is there an Arabic version of Superman? And he said, you know, that's a good question. I don't think so. And he went back to Jordan a couple years later, and he began asking the children that. Just like that. He began asking the children, who's your hero? Who do you have in your life who's a hero? And they gave him a blank stare. They're like, we don't know. And he went around and kept asking, and it was the same reaction every single time. If he really, really pushed, he might hear the name of some famous terrorist or something, if he really, really pushed. But he said that, by and large, he realized, his light bulb moment, he said, was that this kind of culture that sometimes develops in that part of the world, in the Middle East, does not just develop in a political vacuum, but also a narrative vacuum. In other words, those who are educating future extremists are educating them not only in terms of politics, but in terms of heroism. It is the way that it is packaged. In other words, when the Western countries say to these children, don't be a terrorist, the terrorists say, be a hero. And so he took it upon himself. And he said, I'm going to do something about this from my corner of the world. And he began drawing a comic book in the country of Jordan about Jordanian superheroes and concepts like this. And within this book, he began putting little messages about peace and love and tolerance and cooperation and so forth. It was so wildly successful that he was given a grant by the King of Jordan to continue publishing these books. And over the course of the next 5 years, 1.2 million of these comic books were sold. And this is a country with about 6 million people. It's a staggering percentage of the entire population of this country. And it was absolutely amazing. Immediately when I read this, I really wanted to read these books to see what exactly they were about. But they have not been published in the United States, and he refuses to publish them in the United States because he thinks that they would be then perceived as propaganda. And so he says, I'm going to keep them in Jordan, and we're just going to let them do what works here. In fact, they're so successful that he's since been assaulted himself by people who are sympathizers with terrorists who don't like these books coming out. In any case, that was quite a long intro story, but it was a very fascinating one. Thank you for indulging me because I love reading it. I'm not here to talk about the concepts of terrorism and heroism in the Middle East, but I am here to talk about heroes this morning. Father Stephen let the cat out of the bag last week, and he revealed, I guess you could say, that yes, I do love superhero stories. And And I do love comic books, which is kind of a funny thing to say, even though comic books for the last 30 years, their main target audience has been adults. But nevertheless, every culture on this earth has some kind of a story and a hero. We Greeks are no stranger to this, of course. We have Heracles, Theseus, Perseus, Achilles. How many ancient Greek heroes do we hear about? In other cultures, we hear about Thor, we hear about Beowulf, we hear about Gilgamesh in ancient Babylon. And even in the Old Testament, if you have not opened the book of Judges, please do so and read the story of Samson, who actually was a judge in Israel in those days, and who reads like the story of some kind of barbarian hero. The scriptures, we're talking about the Bible, talks about him defeating an army of 1,000 Philistines with only the jawbone of a donkey. And all kinds of other stories like this of great strength. Him pushing over the pillars of the temple of the Philistines and slaying the Philistine army. This is in the Bible. This is in the Old Testament. Because culturally, there have always been stories about heroes. And so it is no surprise, really, that in a country that has never, at least in recent history, had any stories about heroes, that they catch on like wildfire. Like wildfire. Recently, for those of you who know a guy named Stan Lee, who has created so many Marvel Comics heroes that are being turned into superhero movies today, that are making money hand over fist and lines around the block, was interviewed recently and said, "Why do you think heroes, stories about heroes, are so popular?" And he said, "I think stories about heroes are so popular for the same reason that humanity needs to believe in God. Because we need to believe that there is someone out there who can help us during life's crazy moments. Someone out there who can help us." Now truly, we may not find ourselves in a literal burning building or falling off a skyscraper or something like this that we may hear in one of these stories, but we do feel that way in our own life sometimes. We do feel the need for a hero of some kind or another. Someone to come rescue us in our tribulation, or someone to assist us or to help us up when we're falling, when we're weak. The people of Jesus' time felt exactly the same way. How often do we hear people come up to Jesus and say, "Lord, save me"? Just in last week's gospel reading, Peter was sinking in the water. He said, "Lord, save me. Save me. Rescue me." As if crying out to some hero to come save. And today, the same story. Today, the family of this child came up and said, "Lord, please help me. Please come heal my child who's afflicted with this condition and that condition." And Jesus came and healed him. Jesus came and healed him. We don't often hear about Jesus described, or at least in this life, as a hero of heroes or a superhero of superheroes. But in fact, he is. When we hear the very famous resurrection la politica ote catilpis, what are the two lines in the middle of that hymn? Tote ton adi en necrosas thiastrapi tis theotikos. In other words, you made Hades dead by the lightning of your divinity. This imagery of this lightning zapping something. Like some kind of a supernatural power coming in and destroying something. When the priest puts on his vestments before every liturgy, there is a corresponding prayer with every article of vestments. And each one of them is taken from a quote in the Old Testament, either from the book of Psalms, or from Isaiah, or Exodus, or so on. When the priest puts on his right cuff, epimanikium, the prayer is, also from the book of Psalms, "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy, and in the greatness of your majesty you overthrow your adversaries." In the greatness, majesty, and power, overthrowing. Listen to this kind of language. It absolutely is meant to invoke this concept of heroism and strength and assistance for the faithful who read them and hear. Jesus, to cut to the chase, is always simply one call away, one cry away. These wonderful stories that all human beings have been enamored with all throughout history very much relate to our faith as well. Because Jesus, if we do believe that he is willing to help us, and he is able to assist us in whatever tribulation we find ourselves in, then we too must never forget that he is but one call away, like Peter, who instantly, the scripture says, immediately Jesus came and lifted him up. The child was healed instantly. The scripture says, instantly, Jesus came and helped. Jesus came and played the hero in that moment. Again, only God knows what each of us exactly is suffering with or from, because we're human. We all have something we're struggling with. Everyone has challenges in their life. And only God knows exactly what he's trying to teach us in these lessons. And by the way, let me paraphrase here and add one more thing and say, God does not inflict us, by the way. God does not punish by allowing a relative to pass away or something like this. God doesn't do that. He doesn't operate that way. He may allow for something to occur in our life, but it's not him sending it. It's not him inflicting it upon us. There is evil in the world, yes. But God is not the one who sends the evil. He may allow us to struggle, yes, but is always the one who's willing to help with that struggle, that we may grow through it, and that we may be saved through it. Salvation. We hear about saving, these kinds of words. In the Christian sense, of course, this is a very common concept, salvation, and being saved by Christ, being saved by the hero of heroes. Let us remember that he always stands ready to assist us and to save us. We are ready to communicate to him and to convey our message in our prayer life. Of course, we gather together here, but never forgetting that he is always available in his love for us, in his strength for us, to truly come in our times of need and save us from our tribulations. May God bless you. Doña Bola, as we celebrate the completion of the Feast of the Transfiguration,